Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5 o'clock hour on Hochman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
Come back at it. She ain't never do this before, but she good at it. So she never made love.
Who's this?
Good at it. She make it
a boogie with the hoodie.
Who?
A boogie with the hoodie.
That's his name?
Yep. And it's like W-I-T, so it's a boogie with the hoodie. You like
all
it?
All right.
I have a little synthesizer bass.
Yeah, I like that. You know I like that. You know what I like.
Yeah. And you do like ad lib at that.
I'm all about Jason Derulo. Swalla. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I'll play it next segment.
Ira Winderman is here. He's filling in for Crowder. We've got one more hour to go. Crowder will be back tomorrow.
Can I give a quick shout out right now?
Absolutely.
To the Sun Sentinel Newsroom for winning the Pulitzer Prize for public service for their coverage of Parkland. Obviously, a horrific tragedy, but the way that that newsroom came together in these times of diminishing newspaper staffs and the effort they put in. And today it was announced they won. This is every newspaper in the country. And their work for public service, I think it's an unbelievable job by our paper. And the vigilance that we've had at the Sun Sentinel going forward for all the follow-up stories, I think at these times in our business, it might be easy to sit back and going, this is a tough business to be in. And the people and the writers who did that, that is an incredible honor. And I think they all should be praised. And anyone who reads the Sun Sentinel knows we are remaining vigilant to what happened to make sure, or at least hope to make sure, that it never happens again.
Yeah, without question. A bittersweet moment because the reporting and the work done by the Sun Sentinel
was about a tragedy. Yeah.
Was about just an absolute local tragedy. But the Sun Sentinel certainly deserves plaudits for.
I mean, I just retweeted the story because I didn't even know if the word congratulations is the right word because you want it to be for something else. But you know what? Vigilance means something. And if you can make sure or try to make sure that it never happens again, then that's where newspapers and reporting still can make a difference.
And for those of you that don't know what a Pulitzer Prize is, that is the highest award that print media.
It's the equivalent of an Oscar for a movie, Emmy for TV, or Tony for the theater or something.
And a Marconi
like that.
For radio.
Marconi for radio. You are correct.
Or what's the magazine that with the unfortunate rating?
Oh, Talkers.
Or Talkers Award, exactly.
Yes, Talkers.
Number 87, 93, 204.
Falling like a rock. And we the only way Crowder and I remain on the list next year is if they make the list longer.
Longer, so, right.
Based on the way that we're pacing.
Has to be a thicker magazine, exactly. So.
Speaking of plaudits, before we talk heat with Ira Winderman, I would like to give plaudits to this radio station for airing the Masters Saturday and Sunday. I listened. Now, again, the Masters got a little screwed up yesterday. I told you, I went to the Marlins game.
Timing, right.
Right, and there was bad weather coming towards Augusta, and so they moved all the time up. But I had planned on going to the Marlins game yesterday and then being home in time.
To watch the last 2 hours.
The last couple hours. So the tournament's going on, and we're driving down to the Marlins game. You know, we probably left, I don't know, maybe like 11:30 or so. And we listened to the coverage of it, and it was Westwood One's coverage, and it was here it on 560.
And it was fantastic.
They did a really good job.
There was a point there where I thought for sure there were birds in my car.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a great job with the audio. I'm sure they didn't have to whisper because of where the broadcast positions were, but they gave you that entire golf feel. Look, until yesterday, I thought if you would have told me golf on radio, I would have said absurd. But I was like you. We had a commitment. I told the wife I would take her to the Delray Beach Arts Festival. We went up there. I said, but here's the trade-off. I'm going to listen to golf in the car. Well, she shot me a look and then immediately started reading her text messages and left me to that. But they did a really, really good job at that broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happened to be very listenable. Did you hear any of it,
I know Mike Tirico was on it, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was excellent. They did a very good job with that broadcast. Anyway, Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat in the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. So Pat Riley had his season-ending press press conference on Saturday.
On the court.
The players had their exit interviews on Friday. And so anything that you take from Friday and Saturday as surprising, as jaw-dropping, was there anything that you thought was out of the ordinary?
I think it was the acceptance of where they are and that this is what it is. And that, you know, again, hockey, it's sort of like at a radio station when they line up with a bunch of hosts or whatever. No one's going to say, well, look, in this day part, we got that guy, and I don't know what we're going to do about that. So it sort of was formulaic as far as, no, we like our players. We know these guys can be better, and if everyone is healthy, we still feel like we have a good team.
Oh, I did see something, though. On Friday, didn't Spo have some words about Dion Waiters and his weight?
Oh, well, there were pointed things as far as what was allowed this year with his conditioning would not be allowed going forward. But first, they also said, remember, he had major ankle surgery. We knew he couldn't make it all the way back, but now we know that he can put in whatever training is necessary, and there's that expectation. Because let's face it, you do not expect to see doughy Miami Heat players, and we saw that. I remember one of the best stories I heard was when Shane Battier was acquired by the Heat, and he walked into the locker room, and everyone had washboards and pecs and everything, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to have to get in better shape to be around these guys. And what Dion, for whatever reason, fell out of conditioning, James Johnson to a degree also. Yeah, they said that's one thing if you're injured. Otherwise, you need to get back in shape. If Dion comes in shape, he plays. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
Because I remember when D. Wade got traded back to Miami. And
Pat
he said,
no more waffles. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he said, like, this is my final pancake breakfast with LeBron or whatnot. And I remember Antoine Walker famously.
Walker and James Posey were sent downstairs to the weight room and told not to be with the team until they got it back in shape after over celebrating the 2006 championship. Yeah. So again, that's what happened.
So they acknowledged Dion Waiters was not in game shape,
but
by
only
Heat standards.
After the season, when I spoke to Pat Riley at midseason, he goes, no, it's fine. It's good. He's making all his numbers. I guess that's what you do. You wait until the season is over, also.
So what year is he in? He's going into the third year of his contract?
Yeah, he still has two more years left. There's no option. James Johnson going, two more years left. He has a player option. I highly doubt he'll opt out based on that money. Again, these are the years we asked Pat Riley, why 4 years? He said other teams were bidding against us. He spoke about in 2017, we were going for Gordon Hayward. If we got Gordon Hayward, Dion and JJ had agreed to two-year deals to make the money work. Instead, we didn't get Gordon Hayward, so we gave these guys four-year deals. That's what you're living through right now.
And so the roster next season for the Miami Heat, let's say they're not allowed to move anybody and nobody
if Hassan Whiteside doesn't opt out and Goran Dragic doesn't opt out, it's the same roster with a first-round pick. Right now looks like number 13, and anything you can accomplish by trades, and I don't even think they can use their mid-level exception money because of where they are against the luxury tax. So sort of what you see is what you're going to get again.
And they have a 1% chance
of the number one pick in Zion Williamson, a 4.7% chance of getting one of the first four picks.
And by the way, I think the NBA would love that, right? If they got one of the first four picks.
Well, but look at the other teams. They really love if the Knicks got
one
of the first
Knicks,
four
absolutely.
Picks. They probably like if the Bulls got one of the first four picks because they've been so out of it for so long.
Isn't it crazy? I was thinking about this. The NBA playoffs, there's no Knicks, there's no Bulls, there's no Lakers, no Heat, obviously. I don't know if that has
There's a lot of marquee missing this year.
Right?
And you look at the matchup, there's no compelling, I don't think I've got to stay home and watch the series
matchup. Like Giannis, does Giannis have national cachet?
I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks can because they're in Milwaukee.
Right.
So I don't think it's the natural hometown team of so many fans that you're going
to
have.
The NBA would love to see who? I guess Philadelphia or Boston.
Boston, I think the iconic franchise there, and I still think they like the Warriors. They know they do great for ratings. They have.
I'm just talking
stars.
About out of the East.
Out of the East,
Toronto
right.
and Milwaukee.
Toronto's not a U.S. TV market. It
right.
doesn't really move the needle TV-wise. That's always been the concern.
Yeah.
That the ratings will be at an all-time low simply because they're not a metered market.
And you think this is going to be the swan song for Kevin Durant in Golden State?
I think the big three is so close, big four, big five is so close to implosion because it's sort of a been there, seen it, done it. You know, we talk about the great Celtics dynasty and how they reloaded and under Bill Russell went for all those years. I don't think the players have the patience or the need for that anymore. Everyone wants to sort of go out and blaze their own path.
And with the Lakers, did I see that Luke Walton is official with Sacramento now?
Yes, you did.
Yes, so Luke Walton
was in
Sacramento.
He was
so
introduced.
What are the Lakers going to do?
Everyone's thinking, as long as they're, this sounds odd, Hawk, stuck with LeBron James, they'll probably make a move for Tyronn Lue and just say, hey, let's try to recapture the magic. It's going to be all about LeBron. The fascinating thing I heard was this. You mentioned this with the lottery. What if the Lakers win the lottery and get Zion and could start the rebuild of a young team? Would they dare trade LeBron, number one? And then here's sort of interesting point number two. Would there be any value for LeBron? This sounds insane to say this. Would there be value for LeBron if someone taking that on and taking him in a trade also? It shows you how 1 year changed everything.
Well, you gave a great hypothetical on this show a week or 2 weeks ago where you said if Kevin Durant decided he wanted to play for the Lakers but didn't want to play with LeBron and made it known to Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, you know, hey, I'll come here. I just don't want LeBron to be here because he said it's toxic. Like he doesn't want to be around that. Would you then move LeBron in order to get KD?
And part two, could you move LeBron?
Right.
And here is the other point people
are
saying.
You get Whiteside.
Well, you know what people are saying also? If the Knicks get the number one pick, because they're a live-in-the-moment team, would they trade Zion for LeBron?
I like it with Hassan Whiteside.
So, yeah, see, Shannon Sharp, again, always chiming in when you hear Hassan Whiteside. Shannon, it's really nothing what we're talking about right here. But we appreciate you chiming in when you.
I like the wasabi.
Look at Falero. Falero's just delighted with himself.
Anytime he can get in the wasabi white side, he's just
delighted with himself. Yeah, no, it's interesting. So if they bring in Ty Lue, the only thing that I find interesting about that, didn't Ty Lue have to take time away from the team because of the stress
after winning a championship? So just come back and win a championship.
I mean, honestly, now you're going to go to the Lakers.
More media, bigger market,
and more
bright lights,
like,
bigger city.
Like the expectation.
Well, the other coaching candidates there are Monty Williams, highly respected for the work he has done as an assistant, and Juwan Howard will be interviewed. The Heat did allow and offer them permission to talk to Juwan. Remember, he's a former championship teammate of LeBron also with the Heat, so maybe a possibility there. It's got to be so tough on the other guys that you think you're playing on a team, on an all-for-one, and everyone there has to realize Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, it's all about LeBron. The Lakers, I believe, had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
I don't think Magic had any idea
what he was getting himself into. Because as much as Magic is the guy who basically forced out Pat Riley there because of a situation, and he, I think, felt bad for decades because of it, he now realizes that the power he thought he had is like exponential for the power LeBron has.
Yeah, what a crazy twist and turn for the NBA season. And then here we are, the playoffs, which, by the way, to me, there are some compelling matchups as you get later into the playoffs. And the West has some compelling matchups if it plays out the
right
way.
Not as much early, but absolutely. And again, the playoffs in the NBA now have become all about the stars, less than about the teams. It's about, will Westbrook advance? Will these players advance more than it's about the team?
More about the Miami Heat as we dive into the post-mortem with Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Radio.com.
I was telling everybody last couple of weeks, I have my workout routine in the morning, and so I've been watching the final season of The Office. I watched The Office forever, and then we lost interest the last couple seasons because of all the character changes, and I don't know, my wife and I just lost interest. So when I work out on the bike in the morning, we'll go to the YMCA, and I'll watch an episode of The Office. And maybe two episodes, depends if it's 21 minutes. Sometimes there's 40-minute episodes because they take out the commercials. And then for the last, 19 minutes of the bike ride, I will listen to that song over and over and over. Today, at the Y, I watched the series finale of The Office. Now, did you watch that show?
I don't recall the season finale, but that's one of those things you turn on Comedy Central.
The series finale.
Right.
And it was, I mean, phenomenal. That final season.
But don't give any spoilers.
No spoilers. But it's great, right? You love the show?
I love the show, yeah.
I think The Office, I said this a couple of weeks ago on the air, and it's very, very controversial. I think it's better than Seinfeld. Now that I go back and watch The Office, I think it's better than Seinfeld, which was my favorite
TV
show.
But I'll say this, there's another reason there, the depth of characters also.
Yes.
There were so many more characters. So many times you watch a movie now and you go, that's the guy from The Office, or she was from The Office.
All of them perfect, by the way, right? There's not a dud. Is there a dud character?
No.
Every new character that got introduced was just a great character.
And I love Creed. And I don't think he gets enough credit.
I got to tell you what happens in the finale.
What? No, don't tell me.
No,
besides they all die?
Okay, yeah.
Hey.
That was terrible. It was the dragon. Game of Thrones last night. I don't know exactly what happened there, but I'm assuming it was the dragon.
What do you mean?
Isn't it all about dragons?
No.
All right.
so on top of pop culture. It is just an absolute privilege to be in your presence.
This is coming from the guy who watched Autopsy of Michael Clark Duncan yesterday.
Yes, the last hours of Michael Clark Duncan. It was on at 9 o'clock last night, and that's what I watched. Live, by the way. I didn't even DVR it, so I watched it with commercials.
On Reels? Or
yeah,
what was
Reels,
it?
With a Z.
So you were the other viewer when they got that?
I. Now, what was the ratings for Game of Thrones? It was big?
I believe it was 17 million people watched it. It's an HBO streaming record.
Oh.
And, and Reels had six people.
Yeah, me, my wife, my kid. I dragged him into the room. You got to watch this. This guy's good. A lot of people texting in about The Office. And then I always get this. The English version is so much better. I've never watched the English version.
I've heard mixed reviews on that one. I feel like the sense of humor is different.
I don't know. I don't like to watch stuff with subtitles.
And you wanted the reaction so desperately there, and you thought you were going to get it.
So the heat.
That was the point there.
When you do the post mortem.
What happened?
When we do the post mortem on the Heat. So who was the biggest disappointment of the season?
Oh, Dion Waiters.
Was the biggest disappointment.
I gave him an F just because he had so much time to come back. He knew how much the season meant. I understand he missed the first half of the season. But remember, there was a point, Hawk. When Dwayne went away and Dion played so well that people are calling it Wait County and Waiters County and we don't need Dwayne and he can stay in Chicago and Cleveland and he was going to be it. And the disappointment of that he became, even at the end, just a three-point shooter and almost nothing else. I think to me that sort of crystallized, you know, the entire season.
Can you envision him being something other than that?
If he's in shape, I'm hoping. It's all based on hope right now for the Heat. That Goran Dragic gets rid of the knee brace. That James Johnson's stomach is better and they're not pulling aliens out of there anymore. That Dion Waiters gets in shape. That's all you have. The only hope you have for the Heat is that what you have right now gets better. Yes, I think Justice Winslow can get better. He's on an up curve. I think Derek Jones can. I think Bam Adebayo can. Not so sure Josh Richardson will, or we haven't seen the best of him. But when you just look for internal growth, just like so many of the Dolphins players, oh, Devontae Parker will turn it around or not. Oh, Kenyon Drake's going to step up or not. That's the thing is, when it's all based on promise, the promise has to be fulfilled.
And who was the biggest surprise on the upside this season for the Heat?
I think, obviously, Dwayne Wade. Come on, 37 years old.
That's crazy. He was unquestionably the best player, right?
The MVP. If the Heat had an MVP award, I never would have thought when the season started and you were gushing about Dwayne Wade still the Heat best player. And I said, no, that you really should be taken away for that, and that he became their best player. I thought Udonis Haslem fulfilled his mandate of don't play and be a leader.
He's going to do that again next season, right?
I would do it for $2 million.
It seems like he wants to, doesn't it?
Yeah, here's the deal. He lives here anyway, and I mentioned this to you and Channing. It's not like a player is saying, well, my off-season home is in California, and I have to move the family for the start of the season. He's here anyway. My question is this. If Juwan Howard leaves to take the Lakers job or the Cavaliers job, I mean, Udonis would be the perfect guy to shift over to the bench and to pretty much have a similar role. The problem is a coach makes about a quarter of what Hassan would make, what Udonis would make as a player. So I think that'll be a tough decision for
him. You know, the way that they have been talking about Udonis Haslem, Eric Spoelstra, and Pat Riley, is this a lesson learned from the Dwayne Wade situation, which is because they're both just effusive with, you know, we want him back and we'd love to have him come back. And I understand it's at a minimum versus
the price point is different. If Dwayne Wade in 2016 wasn't holding out for that $5 million deal and didn't get ugly, he never would have left the Heat. The thing with Udonis is, you know, right now it's just a minimum deal anyway. And also, the NBA pays back about half that money to you if you sign a player with a minimum, because they don't want teams not signing older players and veterans getting screwed. So you basically pay the rookie salary for a minimum contract and the league pays the rest out of a fund anyway. So it basically costs you nothing but a roster spot.
Was taking the hard line on D. Wade a season and a half ago, two seasons ago, the worst mistake that Pat Riley made in his tenure?
For so many reasons, because if you didn't do that, you never would have signed James Johnson and Dion Waiters. You probably would have been out of every contract now, so that when Dwayne left, you could totally retrofit the organization. Instead, they try to go piecemeal because of that offseason.
I wonder why, to this day, they drew that line in the sand with all the guys. I understand it was an unpalatable amount of money for a lot of people thinking at that time.
Dwayne had fallen off of his play considerably then. That was the summer
Taking a lot of maintenance.
That was the summer of Durant. That was the summer of Whiteside. That was the summer of Tyler Johnson. So many things, sort of the confluence of all of them at the time, made hard decisions. I still don't know, to be honest with you. As much as Pat said, oh, it's the worst decision, never should have done it, I think when he looks back at the math of that summer, I still don't think he feels he was that wrong.
Well, money-wise, maybe not, but now with the benefit of hindsight, you can say definitively now it was a terrible mistake. It was a miscalculation.
I also think
he miscalculated on the contracts that he did give out, including Whitesides and including Tyler Johnson's.
Right.
He miscalculated that they would have a chance to get KD. Like, everything was wrong.
And he miscalculated that Dwayne Wade would still have a high level of functionality remaining.
True.
He was okay in Chicago that one year. He was not okay.
He was out of sorts, though.
Right. He was not okay in Cleveland that first half year. And then he came back. So that this season was probably Dwayne Wade's best season in the last maybe four seasons.
Right? It was shocking. No one expected
but
Dwayne Wade.
But maybe because he didn't have the wear on him from the previous season and a half, he was able to sort of get it all back for one last dance. And also, he wasn't saving it for anything. I mean, my God, the guy could be in horrible pain right now because he said, I'm just going to play this out and leave it be.
And again, you spoke with Pat Riley, as did all the media, on Saturday. He's not going to Los Angeles, right? He's not. No interest in the Lakers president.
He says that now. It might be also because the Lakers expressed no true interest, so you might as well say that. So he is staying on here for what he perceives as the long run.
And then for people, again, Ira Winderman's in for Crowder today. Goran Dragic on the opt-out. Do you think that there's a legit chance that he opts out?
I think there's a chance, and that's why he's been so cautious with us, because if he can get multiple years at age 33 versus just playing this out for 17 and nothing being thereafter, yeah, he might chase a multi-year deal, which I think would have to be elsewhere if the Heat are trying to protect their money for the 2020 offseason.
Did the Goran Dragic trade work out in your mind for the Heat? Was that a good trade or bad trade?
You know, a lot of people are saying the two first-round picks. I'm scared of that 2021 pick now held by the Clippers because it's unprotected. So we could be talking about the equivalent of Zion Williamson that year, the Heat giving that up. I think the Heat got enough value. Again, it was a trade made in a different vacuum of Chris Bosh is healthy, and we have Dwayne Wade, and we're going to continue to move forward. Remember, the same day they made that trade, they started hearing the bad news about Chris Bosh. And again, I don't give mulligans necessarily, but look, the Chris Bosh thing, only now are the Heat fully moving past that. Remember, they paid a salary for this year. Wasn't on the cap, wasn't on the tax, mostly covered by insurance, but that shows how long that lingered.
No, I do believe they deserve a mulligan. Pat Riley especially on the Chris Bosh thing. No one could have seen that coming.
No, and that did have an impact right through this season.
And then Hassan Whiteside, the potential that he
opts
out.
I don't see that, because what's the replacement deal? If the replacement deal, like we mentioned early in the show, is 4 years at $40 million, well, he's already going to have...
How old is he?
27. He's 30 years old. So he's not young, but he might be the guy who has that one more contract. With his thought, I can get that one more contract a year from now. He could be a trade candidate.
And the possibility of the Heat landing a whale. That's obviously the Heat fan mantra.
Only in a trade this offseason. They have no zero blip cap space right now. It's about 2020. But yeah, the Anthony Davis trade will still happen. It will not be free agency. And if the Heat can make a pitch of Winslow, Richardson, and Adebayo, they're going to make it. But the Celtics can offer Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward and some nice. They have four first-round picks this year. I don't think the Heat can outbid the Celtics.
Did they make a mistake not getting Jimmy Butler this season?
That's interesting. And the problem with that is Jimmy Butler would have been it. He would have been making in the $30 million, almost $40 million at 35 years old. So as we watch Philadelphia struggle in that first game, even though Jimmy Butler was great.
He played great.
Is he the one piece? If everything comes down to you're going to keep your young core and airlift in one piece, is that good enough? Where would Jimmy, if they had Jimmy Butler this year, they'd probably be fourth or fifth in the East, most likely fifth in that Indiana spot. What's the long plan there? You want to get not only an alpha, but an alpha. Alpha. Those are the hardest to get.
But did they make a mistake?
In the moment, they made a mistake because Josh Richardson.
Wouldn't you like to have him on the roster next season?
Yes,
wouldn't you have liked
but
to have
would
had
you
him
like
on the
to
roster
have him
this
on the
season?
Roster 4 seasons from now at $40 million?
No, but, you know, again, we keep playing the game here with the Heat, and it's going to be like the Dolphins before you know it, which was the Ryan Tannehill thing, where all of a sudden you're 7 years later, and it's a lost 7 years.
Right, and so.
So you're planning, you're worried about 4 years from now, but that's going to be how long removed from LeBron and really the season after LeBron was okay, right? Didn't they Weren't they a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, that was two seasons after.
The season after
was Chris Bosh. They rebounded pretty good. The Jimmy Butler thing would make it more interesting. The real question is, would you feel bad giving up Josh Richardson? I put it this way, Hawk. I feel less bad giving up Josh Richardson now than I would have in October because I thought there was more upside than I eventually saw.
If you have a question for the final segment for Ira Winderman, a little radio version of Ask Ira, you could text it in right now. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We'll wrap things up in a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, you my go-to. Told me everything about you.
It's Drizzy.
You know who Drizzy is, Ira?
See, there's no right answer for me, because if I say I don't, then you mock me for how out of touch I am.
You're correct.
But if I say I do, then you're going to give me like three other song titles that he did, but one will be phony.
No, but do you know who Drizzy? Drizzy's a nickname for a rapper. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you know who Drizzy is?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
Drizzy.
No, that's his nickname. What's his original?
But we don't. When you're that tight, you can only go by nickname.
You know who he is.
I can't read your lips in the production room
you
over there.
You know who he is.
Kenyon.
Here,
Kenyon Barry from University of Florida.
Drake. This is Drake.
Drake
is Drizzy.
Yes, I know who Drake is.
All right. No, but that's Drizzy. Okay. Maybe we'll say Drizzy Drake.
We're not on that personal level of
Creighton Drake.
And it's Creighton Drake as well. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate that. Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Drizzy Drake. Or Kenyon Drake. Anywho, 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel has been sitting in for Crowder all day. I appreciate it. I'm going to read some of these texts to you that are Heat-related questions. But Cutler Ridge Laz, is that him on line one, by the way?
Yes.
Cutler Ridge Laz is calling in, and I wanted to take this call because last week was Deep Dish Pizza Day, one of the days, and I was singing the praises. You know I'm from Chicago originally, and I say that Deep Dish Chicago Pizza is better than New York-style pizza.
Is not, though.
Is not what?
Is not better.
But it is. And I understand
and
I'm not saying that New York pizza is bad, by the way. People get that, misconstrued.
Right.
I like New York pizza.
I like all pizza.
I like all pizza, right. But I think Chicago-style deep dish is the best. Laz either called in or tweeted at me that Chicago pizza was essentially, what did you say it was, Laz?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I said that Chicago deep dish pizza was Texas toast with tomato sauce and government cheese on it.
Nope, you said it was Texas toast with ketchup and government cheese on it.
Ketchup,
which is
government cheese
just insulting to my core. So I said,
good for you, Laz.
No, he's wrong. So I said to Laz, I'm going to go online. There's a place online called Taste of Chicago where you can have Lou Malnati's pizza shipped in dry ice. Now, this is not the same as eating Lou Malnati's while in Chicago. It's not the same feeling that you get at Uno or Due or Giordano's, right? But it's a small little, taste of deep dish Chicago pizza. So anyway, I had a couple sent to Laz's home, and your verdict is?
Well, first of all, I'm going to eat crow, and I'm going to say that this was delicious. It was great pizza, and I've had Giordano's in Chicago. We've actually been to the restaurant and had it. I'm going to tell you, as crazy as this might sound, making it at home, this pizza was better than what I've had at Giordano's in Chicago, simply because we took your advice and cooked it extra. And I like well-done pizza.
Yes.
Every time I go out to eat pizza, I order my pizza extremely well, and I want the top of the pizza brown.
Yes.
Yes, right? We do the same.
So that's the only way to have it. So I'm going to tell you this. It restored my faith in Chicago deep dish pizza. It really did. It was delicious. It was crispy. It tasted good. And amazingly enough, for a pizza that came through FedEx, and I was expecting the worst, I actually had the best experience I had with deep dish pizza. That said, I remain faithful to New York-style pizza.
You go there.
There's just something about a well-made slice of thin pizza, the extra sauce, really well done. You know, that just does it for me.
I'm not disagreeing. There's, I mean, you know, about a foldable slice of pizza while you're walking.
It's grab and go food. Yes, you're not eating this big lump
on
the move.
Right, totally different scenario. But to me, if you gave me the choice, you know, it's, you know, Tuesday afternoon and you're infinitely wealthy and you could fly to New York for a slice of pizza or you could fly to Chicago for a deep dish pizza, I'm going to fly to Chicago.
But exactly. But what you just said makes all the sense, though. You talk about going for a slice. There is no slice in Chicago.
True.
You
it's
have
a meal.
To get a whole pizza. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say there is no slice of Chicago deep dish pizza. It's a meal. You know, so if I had the bread like that and I could fly wherever I wanted, you'd catch me in Brooklyn. You know, having a slice of pizza. But again, I want to thank you because my wife did a cheat. It was really cheat. I had to do an extra 50 minutes of treadmill this morning just to work that stuff off. But it was delicious. And let me tell you something. Next time I go to Chicago, and we'll probably go in the next year or two, I'm going to stop at this place and have pizza because if it's that good in a box, FedEx second day, it has to be fire. Fresh out of the oven. It
there you go. Delicious. Look at that. It's a little bit of a convert from Laz. He's at least off the it's Texas toast with ketchup and government cheese. You're off that.
No, I take that back. You have restored my faith in deep dish pizza. And real quick, while I got Ira here, and
sure.
This might sound like a stupid question. Any shot at all whatsoever that Dwayne Wade changes his mind and comes back for another?
Less than zero. He could not have played it out any more perfectly. There's not a single moment in that last month where you said to yourself, is there one thing more? As I told Hawk, the only scenario I could see is this, that he'd have a great season. They're in next February and March. They're going to the playoffs, and Dion Waiters or Gorin or someone go down, and they're one player away. But even then, I think Dwayne would realize he's not in the shape for that. When you create the Hollywood ending, why would you go for a sequel?
Absolutely, I agree, and my wife is listening, and I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it. I told you so, honey. You got it from the expert.
Okay, I'm glad Maureen enjoyed the pizza. You cooked it well. See you, Laz.
Bye, Laz.
Hey, take care, fellas. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go.
And remember, anyone else who texted now, Hawk will send you pizza as well.
A whole bunch of people texting in that they want me to send them Portillo's.
That was a funny text. Portillo's is just Arby's.
Somebody texted in, Portillo's is just Arby's. I want to punch that texter in the face.
Just send them some Portillo's in.
I want to punch that texter
There's
in
no
the face.
There's no way you can recreate
Portillo's.
All right,
I'll send them Portillo's.
There's no way you can recreate that with the dipping sauce.
Well, it's funny. We've ordered from this Taste of Chicago before, I believe.
How do you get the dipping sauce?
I don't think
though,
it's Portillo's, but it is one of the Italian beef sandwiches.
But the
I'm
whole
trying
thing
to forget
is,
where it comes
is,
from.
Is the or
it
just
was, it was fa- and it comes with it separately, and it's fantastic. And the peppers and whatnot, like it is. I'm telling you, it's not exactly like sitting there and having a beef sandwich in Chicago, but you get enough of a taste of it.
It comes from Portillo's.
It does come from
Chicago,
Portillo's.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
Portillo's and a Vienna Italian.
It holds up. It really does. It travels well. Before we're out of time here, somebody texts in. My question for Ira is, and forgive me if you covered it already, just got home from work, but Ira, do you think the reason why Spoelstra has been so testy lately is that Riley's been chewing him out behind closed doors because of the way he's navigated through the games?
No, I think Pat Riley is smart enough not to chew anyone out during a season because you're set in your ways anyway. I think Eric has been so testy during the season because he couldn't get this team just over the hump. He kept realizing how close they were and how there was the slippage to bring him back.
Somebody else texts in, how come the Heat didn't play Udonis Haslam more in like the last 10 games? If they did, the Heat would have made the playoffs. He would have played his heart out.
Because he wasn't good enough to play. And Hawk, I got to tell you something. If the Heat went into that last game of the season needing to make the playoffs, and Dwayne Wade started 1 of 7 as he did in that game, he may never have gotten to that triple-double because then it would have been about winning. So as much as I wanted them to make the playoffs, the way it played out allowed the Heat to have their moment.
Ira, what do you think the ceiling is for Bam Adebayo?
As an NBA starting non-All-Star center, but remember, there's only going to be maybe 4 All-Star centers, so I think he could be in the top half of centers in the NBA as a starter.
Do they have an All-Star on that team currently on the roster?
Unless it's Justice Winslow, I don't think I can give you another player's name and feel good about it.
Next year's record is going to be?
Next year's record is going to be 40-42 and in the playoffs.
Oh, 40 and 42 in the playoffs. Well, what's the Panthers record going to be as long as we're betting futures here?
Well, the first month is going to be awful, and after that it'll be terrific. Come on, you know the answer to
that. Yeah, we've been seeing that movie for a number of years.
Yes.
Yeah. What's coming up next at 6 o'clock, Valero?
Hurricane Hotline, 6 to 7. Then South Florida High School Sports from 7 to 8. And then Greg Likens from 8 to 10.
All right, look at that. You got the whole schedule there.
You're welcome. I also gave you Arsenal Watford.
All right. And yes, Arsenal, we were big gambling winners today because of Eric Valero.
I'll take tomorrow.
No, don't take tomorrow.
Because he knew that Watford would be losing a player in the first half and playing 10 men.
You pegged that red card. Ira Winderman, fantastic job filling in for Channing Crowder, who will be back tomorrow. You could read Ira's work in the Sun Sentinel or at sunsentinel.com.
And I'll be autographing Alan Sherman records as soon as the show is over.
Hello, Mutta. Hello, Fada.
What?
Here I am at Camp Granada. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll start our postmortem.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.